Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Roundtable. I am your host, Eddie Wright, once again checking in. And today, we are accompanied by a great list of gentlemen. The usual suspects, once again, Brother Rob Benson.
What's going on?
And Brother Percy Donaldson. And our very, very special guest. I am very happy that he decided to join us. I approached him very unorthodoxed. He is a war veteran, just like myself. I'm very glad to know that he is a veteran. I understand a lot more about him just from picking his brain. Ladies and gentlemen, the very decorated and accomplished Councilman DeKeitha Stamps.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here, brother.
Hey, we appreciate you coming, because 9 times out of 10, when you approach somebody at a bar having a drink, they would probably say no. But you stood there like a gentleman would. We had a gentleman's conversation, and you said, "Hey, man, how far do you want to go?" And that shocked me. Because most of the time when you speak to your local politicians, it's, "Oh, well, maybe that's not the platform we want to do right now, but we appreciate it." I most definitely salute and applaud you, brother, for stepping up to the plate of some total stranger who approached you in the dark and saying, "Hey, if you want to talk, we can talk." That's how I like my politics. That's how I like the people who I associate with. That's why I got these gentlemen hosting the show for me, and that's why we brought you here.
I'm ready to get into it.
So, I had a whole agenda planned, but while waiting, we were picking brains, and I was hearing so much good iron talk. We all call it iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And Brother Stamps, I must say, you have turned me on to a few things that I didn't even know. And I don't claim to know it all, but when I hear new things, I get excited. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll try to keep with the program, but hey, if we divvy off, no problem. We got an hour. If we got an hour and a half, I'm not even upset, because this is going to be a good one. Guys, how do y'all want to start it off? It doesn't matter. Let's get into it. JPS accreditation. Now, when I asked Councilman Stamps about this, he kind of gave it to me a little rawish, and I let him lead into it. He was basically told me, "You want to talk about the issue on the surface level, or do you want to go back to the plan of how they started all this in the beginning?" Mm-hmm. So I want everybody to just listen a little bit as he kind of goes through what he gave me, and I'll respond, and I'll let everybody else respond as well to what we feel, what we're hearing from him, because I was very shocked to hear a lot of this myself. Brother Stamps, you have the floor.
Okay, Mississippi, first and foremost, Mississippi is still a slave state, always has been, and without the proper correction, always will be. It's used three pillars of oppression to oppress its people, black and poor, for the benefit of the 1%. That's the whole purpose of Mississippi, is wealth creation and wealth sustainability for a group, while it manipulates other groups, black and white and other minorities and poor whites. So public education is one pillar of oppression. Citizenship, the right to vote, and those things are another pillar of oppression. And labor. Right to negotiate your labor for a fair day's pay. Mm. So those have been the three pillars of oppression that's been used in Mississippi. During Reconstruction was when we started to have black colleges, universities, and black education in the state. That quickly got removed, and it's been beat down ever since. It's been beat down from all different angles, from having access to education, to funding of education, to all levels, right? So, some people talk about public education and how they support, law enforcement, and I'm a supporter of this, that, but you're not training children. 90% of the children in the state go to public education. But how can you say you support law enforcement when you won't educate their children? Most folks that work for government don't have to make enough money to send their children to private school. So they're choosing public education. Same thing with healthcare. That's another way to hurt the poor, white and black, right? So if you can keep the population dumb, you stay on these surface conversations. And that's why I like shows like this. It's a higher level conversation, but the reason why you can't have these is because you have an uneducated populace, so you can't have higher level conversations or even higher level thought. You stay focused on, the small issues, because that's what your brain can absorb and comprehend, but you don't go off into the deep end. So now when it comes to JPS accreditation, no school accreditation issues are put in place so that the state can take over a school district. The goal of it is not so the children can learn. It's not the goal. the goal is about the money. If the state takes over the school district, it takes over who gets the money.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly defined politics. Politics is about this is who decides who gets the money. That's all politics is. At any level in this world.
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom. It's all these people decide who get the money. Whether you're talking about an airport, a school district, a city, a state, a federal government, the people in power determine who gets the money. So let that be your definition of politics right there, not some other definition you may have learned in civics. Right.
Person said right, right. The other week.
So, right, liberties and rights and all this. Kind of stuff. Politics is about, they decide who gets the money. So when you come to JPS, there is a coordinated plan within the next 2 years for the state to take over the JPS school district.
Wow.
And it's because, you know, yeah, the city spends a lot of money, but the city don't spend near as much money as JPS does. JPS spends right at $770 million a year.
And I can attest to that because I used to work there, and man,
right.
When I tell you, whew.
So now, that's a threat, right? Now, you want to talk about solutions. The purpose of a school is for the children to learn, all right? So now, when you have a situation where 1,580 of your people who work for the school district do not live in your city, that means, okay, those people live in somewhere else. So that equates to about $71 million that JPS sends those home with those employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's what those salaries are. But it's paid from this tax base. But it's going to that tax base.
The anthill I'm talking about.
That is.
Right.
That
right. Is. Right. So, you know, black folks' problems are economic. Religion helps, but the root of it is economic. When 90% of your children in your school district qualify for free or reduced lunch, that means that 90% of your children live below the poverty level.
Yeah.
So now is your problem more so the curriculum, or is it associated to the conditions that manifest inside a poverty structure?
Fair. Mississippi farms poor people.
Right.
Mississippi has always, that's our main objective. They tell you, look at our economy, mm-hmm. and we might not be the richest state, and we might not have a per capita, we might not be making a lot, but the money the U.S. government sends to us, it's strictly taken out. I mean, and if you look at it, every dollar is accounted for to this system of oppression. The mm-hmm. same people making these laws that are keeping our kids uneducated, that are keep us in and out of the prison system, that keep us in these low-paying menial jobs. It's a system that farms poor people. It's meant to keep you uneducated. If you weren't educated, you wouldn't you accept wouldn't this stuff.
Right, and that goes to a point where I kind of wanted to ask a question, and he brought up a great point saying that the labor system
right.
is a type of oppression. Could right. Is it kind of safe to say that these 12-hour work days that we see a lot of these people out here working at unsaid factory I won't name
right.
is a form of that oppression? Right. Because legally we know it's 8 hours. But for some reason they have these people working 12. And if you've seen anybody who works at Zombieland, mm-hmm. a lot of these people don't really function during the daytime hours. They don't function during the daytime hours, and it's literally like they go and they come. They uh-huh. go and they come.
That's right.
So if they're doing that much, how much time do they really have to dedicate to their kids? Mm-hmm. And it's not a hit to them, because at the bottom line is they got to go out there and get that money to make sure they provide.
They got to pay their light bill.
Right. No light bill ain't going to stop.
No union. Right.
So could that be looked at as a form of oppression?
It's definitely a form of oppression. And I was thinking about something the other day. What they called in Detroit with all the GM factories, they had in the 80s, they had the Reagan Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of Democrats who had voted Democratic every presidential election before Reagan, went to start voting Republican. And it wasn't because what it was really about was they were starting to bus black kids into their schools.
Mm-hmm.
And because this faction of America saw that these black kids were being bussed into their schools and they didn't like that, the Republicans used that and Trojan horsed in a lot of union busting and Trojan horsed in a lot of other rules that were hurting the middle class white man too.
Mm-hmm.
But what he couldn't accept
was being at the bottom.
He did not want his kids around going to school.
We can't be equal
with black kids. We cannot do that. And ever since then, the Reagan Democrat has went like national. Like, you got a lot of these folks. Bob Dylan had a song, A Pawn in Their Game. You have a lot of these poor white people who do not want their kids and do not want to be around black folks. And a lot of times, all the laws are based off that.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose just like we lose because it's a lot of Trojan horses being put in these bills that affect them in other ways. But they're like, okay, well, at least we don't have black kids.
At least I ain't black.
Yeah, at least I don't have to marry a gay couple. At least it's always something. It's social issues. And this Reagan Democrat, and it has turned into the Republican Party today as we see.
It's mm-hmm. the Southern strategy.
It's the American strategy now. it's the American strategy because it's like, they accept so much as long as he don't have the same rights I have. Mm-hmm. Or he can't do the same thing I have. I do. Or I ain't got to worry about him living next to me. And it's all that. And a lot of politics are driven out there. The poor white is a pawn in the game. It's the divide. The poor white is a pawn in the game.
Right. You say black, you divide. Right. Exactly.
Exactly, and that goes back to what the councilman was talking about. You know, a lot of these, they decide who get the money. With the government decides who gets the money, and because it's like this, they are using so many tactics of fear and hate.
Mm-hmm.
Fear and hate is driving so many laws. Every time I look at it's a law about transgender. It's a law about gay boy. It's a law. We're not gonna let you video in Texas anymore. Cops don't have to turn in the videotape. You can't videotape. I was watching that on the news.
North Carolina.
Wow.
That was North Carolina.
You got to submit a written request
to video.
Of the cops camera.
Yeah.
A written request.
Right. Well, Texas had a bill the other day put in where you can't even video a cop doing his job.
But notice how, even though they had the passage law with all these body cameras, none of them are seeming to work now when something happens.
I mean, brother. it don't matter if it's on tape, millions of... It don't matter if it's on Facebook Live.
Sure, right.
That's true.
It can't.
Show me, you know, America has a premise that it has had for a long time that certain folks want to do what they want to do to who they want to do it to, with impunity. Mm-hmm. When they say make America great again, what do you think they're talking about? They're talking about a time where they could roam free, and they can come to your house and honk at the door and say, all right, where your wife at? Send her outside. I'll bring her back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm. And the only thing that stopped that from happening was you had a gun.
Yeah.
But now you got black folks talking about we don't want nobody having a gun. If there's any population in the world that wants to be, that should be talking, that should be joining NRA, keeping their gun rights,
it should be us.
That's when all the laws gonna get created. I put it on Facebook. I said, man, we all showed up to that gun show. Everything would change Monday morning.
And walked up and put them rifles. I'm ready. I got Lucille at the house. I will put her on my back. And we can walk straight to that state capitol and sit in front of us
to the gun show, man. And everybody coming in, and you spend your club money, and we buy up everything in there. Monday morning, it'd be a special session.
I believe it.
It'd be a special session.
Well, actually, you know what? They know that most black folks have guns, whether they purchased them, you know, legally or illegally, right? But back to the root of this thing, talking about economics and politics.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do in Jackson is focus on our economic. You know, sometimes we kind of go in these conversations, go a little off, but let's steer this back in to how can I help you become a successful thousandaire?
Yeah.
Not a millionaire. I just want you to be a successful thousandaire.
Yeah.
So that you can learn those accounting practices, tax practices, disciplines that come along with managing
money.
At a higher level, managing credit and debt and ratios and all that at a thousandaire level, so that your children can be millionaires. Yeah. Right? So as we talk about, and then talk about JPS again, JPS got 1,580 employees that live outside the city. It pays them $71 million a year. If you want to rebuild a community, every community that you can think about, from Lanier to all over the place, is built on two things. School teachers, principals living in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and police officers living in the, walking in any community. Yeah. You can say, Miss Johnson, yeah, she taught at Lanier for 42 years, and Miss such and such, she was a principal for 30 years, you know, right?
And you know where they stay.
It's getting few and far between now.
So until we, but see, we control that. So unless we can talk a whole lot about what others are doing,
yeah.
But until we invest in our own community, my sister's a perfect example. When I moved back, when I retired from the military, I bought a house in the neighborhood I grew up in. My sister came back, bought a house in the neighborhood we grew up in, and she teaches at Bates. Mm-hmm. So she walks out to her mailbox and she can point to her students.
Yeah,
you see, until that becomes the norm.
Some accountability in
there. Right. Until that becomes the norm, right? Yeah. Not the exception, but the norm. That's when you're not gonna, you don't have to worry about no accreditation. Because that teaching is personal, because she knows that what she does in that classroom has an effect on her dough getting kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what type of incentives? What type of incentives could we set up?
Well, see, we have to understand that the real incentive is my reinvestment to my own community.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not always have monetary to pay value. You
no extra money to make sure your community is taken care of.
I understand.
Now we check that, but we do offer incentives. They got some stuff. You want to go to some specific schools? They got these $5,000 bonuses right now for folks who go to specific schools and commit to being there for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you want an incentive, there you go. Right,
$5,000 for you.
But the real thing needs to be, if every teacher in this school lives out in the community
in Georgetown,
right, what's going to happen to that school? That's the whole reason you had a Lanier. Them folks live there.
Yep.
Yeah, I was there.
See, integration was the absolute worst thing that ever happened to the black community.
And I heard somebody say this the other day, and I was just like, man, you know what? That really rings a bell. It really rings a bell, though, because when you think about it.
I said every 3 weeks. I look at it, and I say, the civil rights movement was cut short. We had a long way to go, and it seemed like it just stopped.
Well, we integrated without leadership.
Right.
Mm. See, one, because we had this, you know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Huey Newton kind of leadership model. Mm-hmm. And they knew if they gathered those group of people, because after the 60s, there was a multi-million dollar study put in place that said, how can we never let this happen again in America?
The Kerner Report!
Right.
I was talking about this the other week.
He was talking about it for 2 weeks. Right. 2 weeks.
You know, but let's play it out right here in Jackson. Mm-hmm. Why does Jackson State want to put a stinking stadium in the middle of the campus? Because the report you're talking about said, well, one of the problems with the civil rights movement is that these HBCUs were centralized. So let's decentralize them. So now you got Jackson State students living all over town. You got classes all over town, right? And let's put the stadium dead in the middle of the... Now, you use the stadium 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the classroom that you use daily got to be on the other side of town. The bed you sleep in daily got to be all over town, you know? So they don't want 10,000 majority black kids puddle up on top of each other pursuing higher education.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to move beyond our emotion and say, no, I don't want a stadium on the middle of the campus. I want the campus on campus. And because we control this, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a high degree. You know, not all the way, but, you know, to a certain degree. But we control our we control what we go along with.
Right.
Somebody should just be able to come in here and say, oh, yeah, we got a nice plan for a dome stadium right here. We should step back as a community and say, well, that's not going to be the best thing. Let's put the campus on campus and put the dome on the highway. So when you drive on I-20, you know, you see this big... Boom, you know you in
tiger accomplishment.
Right. You know, so we have to move beyond our emotion levels and have higher level conversations.
You're right. And it seemed like and not only teachers, but teachers and policemen, like you say, but that UMC up there, nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Nurses.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, and I don't want to get into no national politics, but this Affordable Care Act just think about what it could have done. That much money being centralized right here in Jackson.
Right.
We won't sign out for it. I mean, I can, like you say, the teachers and the policemen, but could you imagine how many nurses? Could you imagine how many diabetic, renal care clinics, cancer clinics, all type of clinics would just pop up right here in this area?
Yeah, because there's a need.
Whatever nurse comes out of, it's already like that. Whatever nurse comes out of Hines, whatever nurse comes out of Ole Miss or wherever, you know, they already got a job. All they already got a job. But the fact is, it would be just so much for the city, man, if we just accepted that money. And like I say, all these professions that built our communities when we were growing up, they're not existing as much as they used to. They're not existing like they used to. And the Affordable Care Act would definitely help us on that point. If we can get that point. That's good.
As we transition a little bit more into local politics, I have a question. I wouldn't say it's personal, but it's a bit of a quiz. A few years back, we voted for a 2% tax hike to fix, I won't even say fix the streets, but to fix certain issues that we have within our infrastructure of the city, meaning roads, bridges, things of that nature. I checked the website on a lot of different occasions. In my opinion, a lot's missing and mismanaged, but we still get these numbers and reports saying that such and such has been done. And the mayor had a speech the other day and stated basically 67 some odd thousand potholes have been taken care of out of so many million. Like that's a huge accomplishment. But my issue is in regards to the sales tax and the money that's coming in, I'm getting conflicting reports on the inside because I have sources that this committee's not even meeting at times to decide where this money is going to go and how these things are going to get done. And it just feels like at the end of the day, the people voted for something and were given an empty promise where, and it's just like, okay, 2 years down the road, we're still looking at somewhat of the same issue. And nobody's saying it's going to be a speedy recovery or a speedy issue, but a lot of the traction that should, that some of us feel it should be, isn't happening. Why is that?
All right, so just to kind of clear up a little bit about 1% sales tax funds. So we generate about $12 million a year from the 1% sales tax. And we spent right at $13 million of the 1% sales tax funds. I know in my ward we did stuff like Brook Hollow Creek, where, you know, it comes through the neighborhood, but it's the only, there's one street to go in there and out of there. And when that creek floods about three times a year, all those folks are cut off. So we spent about $2.5 million fixing that creek. We did McClure Road, Forest Hill Road, Maddox Road, Veterans Boulevard, and several more, about 14 streets in my ward. But each ward had about between 8 and 15 streets, in, depending on what the costs were. We also did bridge and drainage work in Ward 2 over in, was it Hanging Moss Bridge. So there are projects that are moving on in relation to 1% sales tax. But what's not happening is you can't point to wasted money, because before I just spend money, I want to ensure that the project is ironed out enough so you don't have any waste or redo kind of things. So we got about right at $18 million in that 1% sales tax fund that hadn't been spent. Not because we have a need, it's because as you design and scope these projects out, you got to do it in such a way and pick projects where you won't have to redo it. I'll give you a perfect example. Like you mentioned the mayor's speech, he brought up Suncrest. About 10 years ago, the city borrowed $20 million to do some street resurfacing work. Well, they redone Suncrest. Suncrest is a real bad street in Ward 6, right down by the where CC's Pizza used to be, off McDowell. You know, several years ago, it was bad, right? It was horrible. So they repaved Suncrest, and he was all happy when it happened, right? But the problem was, they didn't fix the water lines on Suncrest. So 2 years after they repaved it, they dug the whole Suncrest back up because it was a water line break. So they dug, so they repaved, they spent millions of dollars paving the street and then scraped the whole thing up and then went back and did the water line and then half did the street when they put it back on there. So at the end of the day, you had double money spent and then less quality on the back end, where you had a higher quality on the front end because you had more money, but then you had lower quality on the back end. So at the end of the day, the people got a lower quality road, but a new water main. So projects roll out slower, but you don't want to bite off more than you can chew, and you want to do it right when you do it. So I would rather you be mad at me for going slower than happy for me for the short term for going faster.
And I've seen that watching the council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a bunch of times where they have tried to throw stuff up there real fast on this council.
Mm-hmm.
And Priester, Mrs. Stamps, Councilman Hendricks, they're not going for it.
Right.
They're not going for it. They shut it down right there. I love every time I see that.
It's a good watch. It's my daytime TV at points in time.
It's like a third and short. They shut it down.
I must say thank you guys for being sources of entertainment for some of us, because if you really watch some of these meetings, they can be very entertaining if you know what's going on. But you got to be in the know, and you got to be able to know and do your research. Right. It's some good things that's going on, and I most definitely want to speak on
to satisfy you though, because you get on Facebook and you read about that.
It's good though. I do that. It's good though. But no, that's healthy though. See, because it spurred. See, when people are mad, you get their true emotions. You get their true feeling. People tell you the truth when they're pissed off. See, so that's why I egg people on.
Yeah.
Get amped up. Right. I egg it on. Hey, get cooked. So we can get
Facebook free. Right. So you can shut this down.
But see, it keeps people engaged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, this is probably the most engaged that black folks been in politics in Jackson in a long time.
Right.
So on one end, people might say, how you deal with people cussing and complaining and fussing you all the time? I said,
it's an opportunity.
That's an opportunity for education, teaching, engagement, enlightenment, teaching the process. Mm-hmm. You see?
And that's what we really
If we didn't care, you would never hear from us.
But see, if I never heard from you, I wouldn't care about you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right?
Exactly.
Because you care about who you hear from, right?
Right.
So, you know, now that people are vocalizing themselves, getting amped up, now that's engagement.
Okay. Yeah. Another question about this 1% filter.
Mm-hmm. 2% filter. 1%.
1%. 1%. Right.
Is it one or is it two? I hear one. I keep hearing
1%. It's 1%. Two all the time.
I heard
two.
It's 1%.
1%. Hey, listen. The question: are we like we haven't bit nothing bigger than we can chew, and I just want to make sure that we're not going to bite nothing bigger than we can chew, and borrow against this money before we even collect it.
Now, there's some conversation about that happening right now, right? So let's talk about scope.
Okay.
All right. So Jackson has a $2.1 billion infrastructure problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mainly so underground,
Mainly underground, mainly dealing with sewer is a big part of it. All right. So now the real infrastructure is sewer and stormwater, because the reason your roads deteriorate is because the water sit on the road too long. But as you fix your drainage issues, right, then when it rains, water moves, and you move on out. Mm-hmm. Well, you ask yourself, well, why do you have drainage issues at the local level? Because cities don't have anybody to kick the can down the road to. Before we start fighting wars, the federal government used to send money through USDA to control soil conservation. So money would come down. You may have seen your city fixing a creek or cleaning a creek, but the money for that came from the federal government. But when we started fighting all these wars, that's where the money came from.
When they turned the war machine on.
Right. When they turned the war machine on, your local infrastructure is going to dwindle down.
So.
All right. So while that's something we used to do more of, now the city's been thrust in a business that we never were in. Mm-hmm. Cities were mainly in the business of just basic maintenance, that kind of thing. We weren't in the business of dredging creeks and putting whole creeks in places. That's not what cities were designed. Our tax structure isn't built to pay for the, you know, putting creek lines in.
Mm-hmm.
That was all federal projects because the federal government for the, you know, putting creek lines in.
Mm-hmm.
That was all federal projects because the federal government has always controlled erosion and water and conservation and agriculture and all that. But when they underfund those things or defund those types of projects, now you turn to me and say, my backyard is eroding.
Mm.
You need to do something.
I'm about 4 feet. 4 feet in my backyard.
Right. You know, that's your backyard, right? You know, so that's why I say we have to start having some higher level conversations mm-hmm. and say, we don't need you fighting these wars. We need to invest in the homeland so we can survive. You know, so 1% is a piece of it, but when you multiply 12 times, $12 million a year times 20 years, it's not $2.1 billion.
Still don't get there.
Right, you don't get there.
Not even close.
It's not even close. It helps, and it's a jewel, and that's why if you got an asset, you want to make sure you use it the right way. The real threat we got in Jackson is there's a group of folks who want to take over our sewer system.
Which was my next question.
Ask your question.
This weight, the water treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Google head.
Okay.
If you want to challenge me on anything, I'll go to Google, I'll find it. If right. you look but some people refuse to even do that. If you look at Google Maps and you look at the water treatment plant from the air,
mm-hmm.
it is very suspicious looking. I say that because they're extra lines, they're reliance, it is. I read the report some years back of what the issues were with the water treatment system. I'm looking at the issue now where we're still in the issue with mm-hmm. getting the waste out, right? This is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. Huge in what people are being told to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It starts there. But simply the fight that they're having about the waste, and it won't end. My entire issue and question is, why is this continuing to be held up? And I won't say this person's name, but I feel like it's because of him and what his involvement
is. Yeah, you don't have
to say a name. Socrates Garrett. But.
Well, all right. So, you know, our problem is not that we have a Socrates Garrett. Our problem is that we don't have 10 of them. Right? Mm. You know, that's the real problem. Our problem is not that we have a Ronnie Crudup. Our problem is that we ain't got 20 of them.
Mm.
Okay. Right. That's the problem.
Didn't look at it that way.
Right. Right. You know, because there's enough money to have 10 of them. Mm. Right. There's enough. You know, preachers in town to figure out how can I combine my
mm-hmm.
preaching, build an economic, open some business, and create a power structure
to put some pressure on these guys
to move something, right? Mm-hmm. Like Bishop Krupp has done over at New Horizon, where he has the different businesses and he has several. You know, if you can use your nonprofit in such a way where you can affect the politics and you can also affect the economic, and you have your spirituality. That's building power base.
Some weight.
Mm-hmm. To be able to maneuver. And right? So our problem is that not that we, you know, have one Socrates Garrett who employs about 100 people, you know, why don't we have, you know, 10 of them employing 100 people? Mm-hmm. But let's go back to your thing about water and wastewater. All right, so right now, we had a couple threats on the wastewater side. First threat is that there's some people who want to privatize the wastewater system. And that's because it's billable. Anything that's billable is an economic generator.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're billing, you know, if you're billing 100 and some thousand people every month for sewer, another 50 cents is millions of dollars. And then you determine where the money goes. To maintain the system, do all this stuff. You're deciding that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, your city council decides that. But there are other people who are at other levels who say, well, no. We want to control that. Let me decide that. Mm-hmm. You know? And so you got a situation where West Rankin has been given a permit by the state of Mississippi to build a wastewater plant. Because they say, well, Jackson shouldn't be controlling Nissan's sewer and billing Nissan every month. We should be deciding that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. You know, Madison County should be paying Jackson to treat sewer? No. We should be doing that. Rankin County shouldn't be paying Jackson $5 million a year for sewer? We should be deciding who that $5 million. Anytime people spend money, they want to control it. And I wish black folks thought like that, that anytime some money goes out, I want to control that money. So they're doing what makes sense. That if I was them, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't.
My money come with me.
Right. My money.
Over there, my money. I'm right behind it.
Right. You know, so.
If I keep buying these Jordans, I'm going to have some Nikes.
Exactly. You know, if a pair of Nikes came with an eighth of a share, then we could be doing some wealth creation. We'd be in the game, right?
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I don't fault them for that line of thinking, but I got to do what I got to do to protect my asset and protect, because I don't, when right now the city entered into a consent decree with the EPA to fix a lot of things. But when the accountability came down, nobody else wanted to be on the hook. Right? When the federal government came in and said, you can't be dumping sewer into the Pearl River no more, and you can't have all these sewer overflows all over that gun place.
Nobody wanted
to
raise their hand.
Nobody wanted to be on the hook for the fixing, right? Right? But so Jackson didn't have nobody to pass the buck down to, since it's our plant. But so now we have went to this process with the EPA and agreed to 17 years of fixing to fix $800 million worth of sewer-related problems around the city. Now everybody said, well, that's Jackson's problem. We don't want to spend none of our money to fix Jackson's problem. Even though, since there was a Brandon, since there was a Pearl, they have been on part of our sewer system. And they added to the problem, right? You know.
And with this last contract that I seen, you know, that was really a part of. And with Senegro and Socrates Garrett, and I just hated, even though I was a part of it, I hate to see the back and forth. I hate to see the back and forth because I knew they were going to use this
as a tool,
to get Rankin County to get their own
water treatment plant.
I mean, you know, but see now go deeper to this deal that you're talking about. In hindsight, we probably should have went a different direction. But hindsight's 2020.
Right.
You know, but see, they moved every piece of negative propaganda, media, federal agencies, national agencies, to muddy the water. And the water got so muddy that nobody want to touch it.
Make you sicker, make you walk off.
Yeah, because you know, you don't, because you may not see something, but you sitting back as me as a voter, right? I'm sitting back as one of the seven people who got to vote on this, and I'm saying, man,
it's too much.
But at the end of the day, they're like, hold on, we cannot be giving this much money to this group of Negroes here in Jackson, Mississippi.
Exactly.
But you know, when you're going through that process, you're like, man, what is wrong? Man, you got all these news stories, you got all these people investigating, you got all these people, you know, asking questions and recording stuff, all kinds of crap, man.
And everybody on both sides, like, what have we got into?
Yeah.
It got bigger than even the people who was in it.
Right.
Come
to find out, hindsight 2020, right? It's like we have broke some unwritten rule. Thou shalt not give that much money to Negroes to do nothing.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it was. It was a bad break. And I knew that Rankin County would use this to muddy the water. And anytime I hear about privatization for Jackson,
right.
I get weird.
You know what it means.
We start reading some.
We need charter schools. We need this. We need that.
Right.
And I'm just like, nah.
Privatization
ain't never worked that way for us.
That's a divide.
Right. And that's exactly what it was. And so anytime, Jackson, voters, don't jump on privatization, nothing.
Well, now, but check this out. We're being forced into a corner, see? Because remember, we play chess, they play checkers. Right? So, first off, the game isn't even checkers. You know, but you know, so we got to start playing chess as well. We can't just get emotional and this kind of stuff. You know, we got to really look at this stuff,
and
be unapologetic. And also, there are consequences. There are serious consequences for doing what's right.
Like
the airport deal. When we came aboard, the airport board consisted of a wonderful sister. But she was the president of Tennessee State. She wasn't even Jackson. Glenda Glover.
Go ahead.
Right? A brother, that's a white brother, he was in a convalescent home. So was he coming to the meetings?
No.
All right. So the board consisted of just status quo.
Shadows.
Just, you know, business as usual, right? We came aboard, and we said, well, okay, well, let's, you know, we got some plans for this. We can really do something with this airport. And it's not about the airport over in Rankin County. The real jewel is Hawkins Field, because Hawkins Field is import-export, right? Mm-hmm. Hawkins Field is, and the other airport, both of them are custom certified. So Hawkins Field has a railroad spur back of it. It's on an interstate in close proximity, and it has an industrial park in the back of it. So it's built for global economic. It's built to maneuver goods and products from here to Russia, China, vice versa. Mm-hmm. So whoever controls the doorway to the global economic is what they want to control. Mm. They want to control that doorway. And so while we may just think about the airport because that's the one we use, mm-hmm. we don't make a lot of money from that airport. Right, we make about $100,000 a year in taxes from the airport, but the real control is about the import export,
freight,
right, moving goods and services back and forth, and who makes the decision to control that. So we came aboard, changed the whole airport board. They in turn changed the law firm, right? You know, so the law firm contract for the airport is about $2 million a year. So that means we went from one law firm to another one. So now there's a black law firm is making about $60,000+ a month, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And lawyers in Mississippi are going broke. So in a climate where law firms are fighting over economic, anytime you move economic, it's going to cause ripples, mm-hmm. right? So there's a problem with that. So that's the price for progress. Is then that's going to sit back and just let you...
You know, move it and think that this is what's...
As long as you can be in you can be in control of it, as long as you still do the norm.
Yeah.
Right?
You can be the face.
Right, right. But when you decide you want to start building a power base, building... Then they realize, oh, these brothers got some good ideas. Why don't you never think about that? You're my advisor. You're my expert.
These jokers are... All right, what am I paying you
for? So some folks start sitting back and saying, well, hold on, these jokers are actually halfway smart. But we're going to say they're stupid in the open air. Mm. We're going to call them incompetent in the open air. Mm. But they've actually opened up new and fresh ideas of how to use this airport to build wealth for Mississippi.
Yeah.
So then I said, well, we got to control that.
Yeah, it's a problem now.
That's a problem now. Right?
Once too many ideas come out of there. Right.
What are they doing over there? They thinking. No. Stop it. Stop them. They thinking.
Right. You know, so, you know, but we anticipated this. The late mayor, Joe Villabumba, you know, we had meetings about, okay, you know, because I had my list of things I wanted to do when he came aboard. He got his list of things. Everybody mm-hmm. had their list of things. And, man, we can really, you know, get it popping in Jackson if we start doing a little change here, a little let's change that, you know, over here. So they started saying, well, hold on. There's some possibilities here. Right? So we need to take the school district. We need to take the airport. So that's when those things really got cranked up. There was always plans smoldering of taking over assets of Jackson, but it really cranked up in 2013 because they saw that, okay, we really don't care.
Yeah.
Like when myself and Priester came in.
Right.
And then, because Priester got his own thing going on. Mm-hmm. I'm retired, got my own thing going on.
It's that fear.
And right. What did you say, Percy, a couple weeks ago? They don't want you if you don't have anything that they can buy you for.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so like, you know, I still drive my little Toyota Corolla, you know.
I'm so happy to see it out there.
I expected the Benz. I'm sorry.
Right, you know, I don't even have a Benz. It's a waste of money, man. You know. I was brought up that men buy dirt. Mm-hmm. Men buy dirt. If you're a man, you buy some dirt.
Right.
You know, they'll you buy something that's going to appreciate. You going mm-hmm. I go buy 10 cows before I bought a Lexus. You know.
Hold on.
This is the guy over here. This is our Percy is our special.
But if that's your thing, that's your thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you got it. But see, you work hard for your money. You deserve to have, you know, some stuff. I may spend as much as money you spend on your Benz on what I like to do.
Your mm-hmm. body.
Everybody got something that they do their thing with, right? You know, I probably spend as much as you pay in car insurance and bullets because I go out and shoot stuff all the time. You know.
Right. And we got to, we got to, I don't even want to get into this tonight, but we gonna get the councilman back. And
talk about it.
Can I do some solutions first before we leave?
No problem.
Can I give you some solutions? Because I can.
You can talk about all the problems.
Yeah, I can talk about problems all day long, right?
We need solutions.
I can talk about problems all day long. All right, solutions. First, you know, to make it basic, Marcus Garvey said it best. You know, think Jackson, buy Jackson, and everything else take care of yourself. Think black, buy black, and everything else take care of yourself. Building an ecosystem. We talked about this before we came in the show. Don't just focus on making millionaires. You have to have an ecosystem of businesses that feed off each other so that they can build the disciplines so that your children can be the millionaires. Don't go try to be the millionaires right now. Focus on building wealth, low to no debt.
Mm-hmm.
Real wealth is in gold, silver, and dirt. I'd rather you have a drawer full of silver coins or gold coins than, you know, thousands of dollars sitting in a savings account.
Mm.
Where you can go in a bank, pull a drawer out, pick your coin up, walk to the teller, and say, cash it in for me. Like they do at the casino. You can do it right there in your bank. You know, build real wealth. But look at small businesses where you can produce, market, and consume products locally. And that's the opportunity we got right here. We got cheap property all over town. All over town, right? So you got cheap property, and you got untapped markets. The only markets you got in most of the black community in Jackson is these little convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no competition. You have no, they're not, they don't compete because they don't even connect with your own people. The people you're trying to market to, they don't even connect with them. They're just there.
Yeah.
Serve you behind the glass.
Right. Serve you behind the bulletproof glass with the bar. They got bulletproof, I went in one, they got bulletproof glass and bars in the store. Not on the wall, not on the door on the outside. I'm talking about before, when you walk into the store. Yeah, in the one over on Northside Drive, it's got a drawer that it pushes out.
And I was offended by that.
Right.
I never went back after that.
Chicago style, it's just like, come on, man.
Right. You know, next thing is going to happen is you're going to have other folks out here frying chicken and frying fish, and we buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
We and it's already happening. Your IHOP's owned by other folks. Your Subway's owned by other folks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The key name is the Patel Corporation.
Oh man, but I see. I don't fault them for what they do.
Oh no,
because it's all economic and they're doing.
It's all void.
Right. So mm-hmm. It's all void. Right. So what we have to do is get into the market of what we do. Right. Black owned grocery stores, but also producing stuff and marketing to our folks, and go to them and say, well, if you don't distribute our products, we're not going to shop with you. Right. But I need those products.
Mm-hmm.
I need for you to have a product line and a dependable service delivery to keep delivering that product consistently. And I need you to have one. Basic stuff, right? You walk in a convenience store, you see what they sell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to produce those things. So take your money and produce some. Prime example, I got a brother named Eric. He once started a business about 2 years ago. And he was trying network marketing and all this kind of stuff. I said, man, don't be a sucker. Go figure out what you can make at your house and produce it. And this is how you start a business. You take one product and you make it and you go sell it and you come back and make two. And you talk to your customer about refining your product
mm-hmm.
and getting better, right? Your initial investment was the investment you made for the one product. And as you continue to double and flip and flip and flip, now when it's time for you to go to the bank to get money, you have a real conversation to take to the bank because you know exactly what I'm going to do with this money. Most folks think backwards about starting businesses. They say, well, I need to get a grant. I need to get a loan.
Yeah.
That's not what you need for money. Today, Eric sells hundreds of units of this herbal popcorn from his house. He's moved into a line of lemonades. We got four or five different flavors of lemonades, and he does a couple other products too. But his initial investment was about $30. But he sells hundreds of units of product every week off a $30 investment. Because he popped a bag of popcorn, put some seasoning in it, and vacuum sealed it. And sold it to somebody.
And they bought it.
And he went and made some more, and made some more, made some more. And now he got a business called Healthy Pop. Right? Mm. Which sells other product lines as well. Second, another example. When we came aboard, in order to own a food truck, you had to pay $500 per spot to have a food truck in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we said, well, let's change it around. Let's pay $500. You can go any daggone where, as long as you're not within 300 feet of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So now you can take your truck, put a trailer attached onto it, pay $500, and now you can sit up shop with all your stuff in the back of that trailer and sell food all day long in Jackson. For $500 a year.
Man.
Right? That's low-level economic. The next one that's going to come out, we're going to deregulate the taxi industry. Right now, you have, the law says you have to have 8 taxes to start a taxi company. Well, we're going to change it and make it like a record service where you can just have one car.
And I'm an Uber driver. That's why I get excited about it.
Yeah, well, Uber's all right, but, yeah. But you'll be able to own your business.
Own
an operator from your cell phone. And run your taxi business. Right? That's low-level economic.
Mm-hmm. And then that kind of worked well because I've been listening to the arguments that the taxi services have been having with you guys by Uber. And that's just like the best solution. What you just said, that's right. Like the best solution. How the taxis can't be mad now.
Right.
And that's bad now. That's great thinking.
How do you get the regular people off the sideline? We're going to have this conversation. I mean, it's what we're going to do.
We're
a little bit of...
Right.
You know, but how do you get the regular people off the sideline?
Well, I mean, see, what I do is I work with the willing. The masses never, yeah, the willing.
Yeah, I'm with
the
you.
The masses never join in. All these folks that talk about, they march with Martin. No, they didn't. They're lying.
my dad said that every day.
Listen, this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You work with the willing. I go talk to, you know, a group of, you know, a couple brothers like yourself, sisters, you know, whoever's willing, we go to work. The rest of them will say they was with us 20, 30 years from now. Mm-hmm. Man, I know them brothers, man. Them cats was, I was down with them, you know. I was with respect our black dogs when they was out here, you know, picking these stores. I was with them brothers, man. We down with that, right? And you say, yeah, brother, yeah, I love you, brother, you know. Mm-hmm. But you work with the willing. What do you want to do? 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 Let me figure out how I can make you $1,000. You know, use me. Leverage me in my spot to move your thing down the road. Hmm. She do it. Eric do it. Mm-hmm. All our people that's with us. Use me to leverage what you got going on so we can push your thing out there in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Heck, I'll do a commercial for you. Whatever. It don't really matter. You know what I mean? You know, leverage it so you can build on it. And then when you start building, you start finding folks in your network. And you help them. Let's get them started. See, this plan don't cause any funny money.
Mm-hmm.
See, our issue is that we have always been resourceful. We just have to go back to being resourceful.
Yeah.
Resource is not the problem.
Resource.
Resourcefulness.
Yeah, I get it.
Resourcefulness.
That was a good one.
Imagine if Mark, what if Malcolm X had an iPhone? Think about that, man. Mm-hmm. Marcus Garvey built a 6 million person organization. What if you had that phone? Right? You know, so use the resources and tools we got. Right. Use the resources and tools.
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it.
Use the resources and tools we got to build an economic where you produce, market, and consume your products locally.
Mm, that's what I think about when I hear conservative. I tell my friend this all the time.
I'm a conservative.
And my parents were conservative, and my folks and my grandparents were conservative, because there's nothing more conservative than rinsing out that jelly jar and putting some ice in it and making it your favorite cup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we use what we have.
Right.
And that's what, we're resourceful. Right. And that's what, you know, that's all that is. We need to, when it comes to Jackson, we all need to be conservative about Jackson. This is ours. Let's conserve it. Not only conserve it, let's build on it.
Right.
And that's exactly what, and I'm down with you, Council.
You know.
I'll show you one of your t-shirts, buddy.
Yeah, this has been a strong conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Roundtable. I am Eddie Wright, joined again with Rob Benson and Percy Donaldson, and our very special special, respectable guest, Councilman DeKeitha Stamps. Before you leave, one question.
Uh-huh.
Running for mayor?
Nah.
Not yet?
This
next... Just take some time to think about it. Ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, you know, let me just ask a question and just be totally honest with folks, right?
Okay.
In the mayor's race, or any race, mine, the mayor's, whatever, vote for a person who presents you a plan, first and foremost. And do you feel that they can execute what they've put in front of you? If you do not feel that person can execute what they put in front of you, tell them, well, you know, I'll pray for you and let them move on.
I wish you the best.
The reason why I haven't stepped out, say I'm gonna run for mayor, is this. With so much division, you'll end up out of the game. And they're using ambition to flirt and tease folks into stuff to get them out the game. Mm-hmm. And we can't allow ambition to pull us into a situation where they're playing chess, we're playing checkers. If I allow them to tease my ambition to pull me into something so I can be in a trick bag at the end of the year, I'm going to be out the game. Because with 7-8 people in the race, you're going to end up with somebody you didn't even want.
Yes, right.
Right, so it's going to be so divided, and then I'm going to be on the sideline somewhere. I'm going to be here talking with you guys every week. And not,
he ain't got nothing
else to do. Right, because I'm back.
He used to be a
counselor. Right. Exactly. Former, right? You know, so right now, with so much division and so many people into that thing, but also, you can change mayors like underwear. But if you don't change the mentality of the people and the commitment to reinvest in yourself, you not change anything. So me personally, I would rather be Jackson's gladiator than Jackson's mayor.
Spoken like a true leader, ladies and gentlemen. We will close at that. This is the round table. He can't knock it over. It cost me a little too much. Like and share the podcast. Like and share the podcast. This has been an awesome one. I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, thank Councilman Stamps for coming out on such short notice. We appreciate you. And as always, everyone, peace and love. Man, that was awesome.
Hey, you got a fan over here, bud.
Man, yeah.
Listen. I always been a fan, and me and Eddie grew up in the same neighborhood, mm-hmm. and Derek Trimble.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pushing for Derek.
They're a good guy, man.
He was good. Yeah. And then when good they hearted said, guy. Derek didn't win. Like, who won?
I thought that was a woman.
Me either.
A girl beat you there. Girl beat you.
Ever since then, every time I look on TV, and even when I was up there with that watch guy, I was like, hey, DeKeitha down for us. I don't know, but, you know, I always been able to, I don't lie, I like this whole council we got, pretty much. I like pretty much everybody on there. I wish, you know, we get even more young brothers on there. Mm-hmm. And the father young brother, I like everybody, man. And I think either one of y'all would be great.
Everybody necessary, man. Uh-huh. Yeah. People talk about stuff all the time, but the point is, do vote right.
Right. I said it like this. Those guys. I'd be wary. When it comes to Ken Stokes, we got a junkyard. I'd be wary of anybody telling me to get rid of my junkyard dog.
Right.
I know when he going to bark.
Right.
I know it might not be something always out there, but I know he going to bark.
If something walking in the distance.
Yeah. If somebody like, that dog barking for nothing. No, not that dog.
Right.
Like, that's a good dog. He going to bark.
The whole world said Ken Stokes was crazy when he said on the block.